This is Jonathan Bingham. Welcome to Get Connected. I pray that God's Word will challenge you, encourage you, and equip you wherever you are in your walk with Jesus Christ. Thank you for listening to this audio presentation. This lesson series challenges us to define our desired destination, compare that with our current direction, recognize the decisions we have made that resulted in our direction, acknowledge the thoughts that shaped those decisions, and to take charge of the many factors that influence our thinking. It was presented to our adult Bible study at Eastside Church in Marietta, Georgia in the fall of 2015. God bless you as we study His Word. Let's get into our lesson time. I think probably the reason there's so many people here today is because of the excitement that we are sharing, that we're actually going to finally finish this morning the study that we've been on since 2003. It was the first Sunday in the summer.
August 9th.
Oh, it was August? Oh, okay. August 2nd. All right. Well, it is amazing. Yes, it is. Let's talk about one last time our destination, the principle of the path, that our direction determines our destination. We've talked about this so much. Hopefully, I don't have to even remind you that we're talking about our destination and that our direction determines our destination. Our decisions determine our direction, and our thoughts determine our decisions. And there are a lot of things that affect our thoughts. We are finishing this morning talking about what those things all are. And we've talked, if you'll remember, what have we talked about? We've talked about friends, that friends affect our thoughts, the music we listen to, the books we read, the movies we watch, the videos, that kind of stuff. By the way, I'll just start out, you know, when we talked about friends, we were talking about real friends. We weren't talking about virtual friends, but we certainly should mention that at some point, that my face and all those things are places where we established friendships. Sorry, Facebook is a place where we establish friendships as well. And is there a chance that those people affect our thoughts? And yeah, absolutely. In fact, far more than they should. You guys know that I'm not a fan of Facebook at all, and one of the reasons is because I see very, very little positive coming out of it, and a whole lot of wasted time, and a lot of negative. That's my perspective on it, and so when we talk about friends and our friends' influence on us, we need to include that in that same bucket there as well. Last week, we talked about the Bible and how that it can absolutely positively affect our thoughts. And last week we talked about meditation. I was so thrilled. I think we had a really good time last Sunday talking about that, and I was thrilled with the response afterward. Many people saying, "Hey, that's encouraging. I want to do that. I want to meditate on." And so, by the way, I spent far more time than I had yesterday working on something that I didn't finish. But you will have available, as soon as I can finish it, a sheet. It's actually 3 pages long right now. I intended it for it to be less than 1 page. But ideas for you to, passages to meditate on. So that as you think about this idea, and if you're excited about this idea, is that, you know, the scriptures that we talked about last week that encourage us to engraft God's Word into our lives. That if you got excited about that, I wanted to give you some starter ideas. If you didn't already have some ideas about what you wanted to be memorizing and meditating on, then I'm going to give you a sheet that I'm going to try to finish it today if I can. And also this lesson series, now that we're finally finishing all the recordings of it and everything, I'm going to at least get the notes up. The recordings will take too long to get them all done today, but that's what I'll be working on, so that you can have all that stuff. So you'll have a sheet with some starter ideas for meditating on God's Word. We talked about sermons last week being something else really great to listen to. Let's finish today talking about the final thing that I wanted to highlight. It would be very positive for us to use that can positively influence our thoughts, and that is prayer and worship. Prayer and worship. And at first you think, well, why, how does that influence our thoughts. And to me, there's one thing that stands out so much, so clearly about that. And can you imagine this week the importance of prayer being any greater? After the horrible terrorist attack that happened in Los Angeles this week, and then the response, you know, people saying, gosh, we're it was amazing. It was amazing that at the same time that people were defaming those who were saying that I'm praying, you know, we need to be praying for those people, the people inside the room who were being shot at were texting people saying, please pray for us, we're under attack. And yet on the outside of the room, there were people talking about how worthless that is to say, I'm going to pray for you about this. Absolutely ridiculous what has happened in our culture. And that we saw this week, though, to focus on this, the absolute importance of prayer and the immediate response that often happens when we pray. Here's a guy, I read this definition this week that I thought was pretty great for prayer. Prayer is the movement of our mind, heart, and soul in which we confess our belief in God and His goodness. And then we ask Him to manifest that goodness in answer to our petitions. Isn't that beautiful? I thought that was just a fantastic definition for prayer. And it also is related to worship. And I really think that as we're going to talk about this morning, they are both really tied together in one aspect that I want to highlight. And that is that one of the many great things about prayer and worship is how they force us to face, admit, and confess the truth. And so for me, and you know, so much of this study has been stuff that I needed to hear and think about. For me, so oftentimes I'll be walking along thinking everything's great, thinking I'm doing fine, until I go to prayer. Or until I go to worship. I'm not talking about big church. We've talked about that earlier this year. And then all of a sudden, immediately, before I can engage with God, He confronts me with the truth. No, you're not ready to ask me for anything. Here's what we need to deal with. And I have to say, yeah, God, you're right. That's the truth that I'm trying to avoid. And so how can prayer and worship help us? How can they affect our thoughts? By helping us face the truth. And here are some passages that I thought were just great. If you'll, why don't you turn to Psalm 51, a fantastic passage. The whole stinking chapter is a prayer from David to God admitting, facing the truth of his situation. And you'll remember the situation that he was facing. Psalm 51. When he was confronted by Nathan the prophet about his adulterous affair and with Bathsheba and the murder of her husband. Psalm 51, it was David's response. As you're turning there, Psalm 26 is another prayer from David to God. And listen to what he said at the very beginning in verse 2, Psalm 26, 2. He says, "Examine me, O Lord, and try me." At the beginning of his prayer, he says, "Examine me, O Lord, and try me. Test my mind and my heart." And that really practically is, before anything else, the first thing that happens with us when we pray. If we're really praying, if we are really connecting with God, the first step is to allow Him to examine our hearts and to point out our directions, our decisions, our thoughts that are wrong. Psalm 51, as I said, this entire thing is a prayer of David. It is the prayer that David prayed after Nathan confronted him. Verse 6 is the one that I wanted to highlight because it really focuses on this point of us having to face the truth when we pray. Psalm 51, 6, I'd love for you guys to read the whole chapter, but here's what he says in verse 6. "Behold, thou dost desire truth in the innermost being, and in the hidden part thou wilt make me know wisdom." David admits and confesses, God, you want for me to know the truth in my heart. And that truth oftentimes is not what we want to admit, but it's the truth. in Ephesians chapter 5. I love this, verses 18 through 20. Another thing about, another passage about prayer. Do not get drunk with wine, for this is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. Singing to ourselves in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs. And so that really is supposed to be just what we do as we go about our lives. And if we're thinking here as we are about how that prayer and worship can affect our thoughts, can drive our thoughts positively, then here Paul says to us that we should be singing, thinking about, worshiping God just all the time, everything we do, singing, making melody in our heart to the Lord. All right, so the bottom line, I think, about this is frequent prayer and worship can keep us from being deceived about our friends, activities, path, and destination. The more time we spend in honest, open, real prayer to God, real worship of God, the more time we do that, the more honest we will be about where we are, about our direction, about our thoughts, our decisions, our direction, and ultimately our destination. So when you pray, is it just asking God for stuff? Or is it a two-way conversation, a dialogue? That's what it should be, and that's when we have to face the truth with Him. Any thoughts about this before we conclude our series? All right, well, I wanted to highlight that. Worship and prayer, facing the truth. And the reason why I wanted for us to finish with that specific aspect of it as we finish this series is, as I mentioned last week, my greatest concern about us, about myself and about us, is that we've gone through this long, lengthy, painful series on the principle of the path. We've talked about it in every possible way. And we've been challenged to face, you know, those questions. Where are we? Where are we pointed? Which direction are we pointed? Where are we going? Where will those paths end up? We've been challenged to face those truths or those questions and even face the truth of those outcomes. And yet we still have to make decisions if we're going to change them, if we're going to change the outcomes. We still have to change our direction. We have to change our decisions, make decisions to do that. And my greatest concern is that we're going to just, at the end of all this thing, be exactly as we were 6 months ago on August the 2nd. And I'm really serious about that. I am incredibly serious about my concern there, about that outcome. So the question is, where are you going? Where are you going? Have you been honest with yourself about where you're going? About your directions in life. We talked about ultimate direction. We talked about long-term direction. We talked about short-term direction. Many, many aspects of our lives are involved here. Have you been honest about those directions and whether or not you want those destinations to be true in your life? Excuse me, a final passage here. Proverbs 21:12. I was reading this the other day, and this just really hit me that morning as it related to our study. Every man's way is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the hearts. So it's easy for us to say, oh yeah, everything's great. Everything's great. And yet if we were honest, that might not be the real assessment. So are you a doer of the word? That was Proverbs 21:2. What did I say? Did I say something wrong? I'm so sorry. You know not to listen to me. Proverbs 21:2. Every man's way is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart. Sorry about that. Are you a doer of the word or a hearer only? That's the question for us as we finish this study. Are you a doer of the word or a hearer only? Where are you going? Is that the path that you want to be on? Is that the destination that you want? The choices are up to you. All right, any thoughts about this before we tie a bow on it? Why did I write this up there? When you read in 1 John 1:9 and many other places in the scripture, the word confess, when we're talking about truth, that's why this is why I wrote it up there. That word confess is this in the Greek, homologamen, is the Greek word. And forget about men, that just means we. That's the plural form. Homo means the same. Logos, you know that word, is word. To confess to God, all that it means is to agree with Him, to say the same thing, to say the same thing that God is saying. Tell the truth, right? It's to admit the truth. When we confess our sins, we are agreeing with God that we're not right. That His way is right, our way is wrong. That's what it means to confess. So that's why I wrote that up there.